Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Eric Smith, and today we are going to be going through the AFC North divisional preview from a fantasy football perspective, a division near and dear to my heart. I'm going to be joined by Callan Elslager, who is going to help me. He is a Steelers fan, so we got this division really covered here. I'm excited to get into it, but just some notes up top. Please make sure to check out Drew DeLuca, our new editor-in-chief. He's got his ultimate draft guide up on the site. Really awesome look at how he's going to draft a team this year, goes really in-depth, and if you prefer that in audio format, he talked with Nick Pollock of Pitcher List on a recent podcast, really dove deep into this season from a new person's perspective, which is Nick's perspective, and then also just kind of inside Drew's head and how he's drafting teams. So I would definitely check out the Ultimate Draft Guide and his podcast with Nick Pollock of Pitcher List. Some really good content on the site. Also, along with that, we've got our What We Saw article on the website recapping week two. Our team does an awesome job of watching all of these games. They watch them all the way till the end when the fourth string quarterbacks are in. So they are doing a service for you. So please check out those articles. It cuts to the core of what you really need to know from a fantasy football perspective. But today, like I said, we're here for the AFC North divisional preview. I'm joined by Callan. You have heard him, I'm sure, on our Waiver Wire podcast. He's helped out everywhere on the site. So Callan, it's been a while. How was your summer? What are you up to nowadays?
It's been a while. I'm glad to be back. It's been a while since I've talked to you. Since we've had our usual AFC North banter. We used to do the start sit show together. That's usually where half of our debates were AFC North stuff. So it's good to be back. It's been a pretty crazy summer. Been busy with work, just, you know, past month or so, diving back into fantasy football with my rankings and everything. So, but excited to get going. This division's definitely an interesting one from a fantasy perspective this year.
Yeah, it's a tough division. I don't know about you, Callan, as a Steelers fan, but as a Bengals fan, this division is just like, it's brutal. Every divisional game, like every game you play, you feel like you are lucky your team survived without injuries. Like all these teams just want to knock each other out. Like it's just, I know every division says this, but there are some physical teams in this division. And most of the time you're just happy if your quarterback escapes healthy. Like this is just, it's an emotional toll watching these teams in this division.
Absolutely. Every divisional game, I feel like I have to like mentally prepare myself for, I'm going to get a few extra gray hairs watching this game. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be a tight game. It's one of the few divisions in football, I think, where you can make a realistic case for all four teams to make the playoffs this year. I think you go from the top with last year Cincinnati and the bottom of Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and there's a lot of improvements to come. And so it's going to be a tight division, lots of fantasy viability, and for us as fans, it's going to be fun to watch and also heartbreaking at the same time.
Yeah, and even like a defense like the Browns, which has struggled, they've still got Myles Garrett out there just wreaking havoc. So it's a crazy division. You always know Steelers and Ravens are going to have tough defenses. So it's kind of remarkable we have so many good offenses here to talk about. So let's just get right into it. We're going to start with my Cincinnati Bengals. They won the division last year. Some of their notable additions, they added Irv Smith at tight end, left tackle Orlando Brown, safety Nick Scott. They drafted Chase Brown in the fifth round, a running back, drafted two receivers in the fourth and the sixth, Charlie Jones and Andre Yosubas. They also lost Hayden Hurst at tight end, Samaje Perine at running back, both of their starting safeties, Von Bell and Jesse Bates, and the ever-popular Eli Apple at cornerback. We'll see how he does over in Miami. But in the coaching staff, nothing has changed here. Somehow, Big Lou has returned to the Cincinnati Bengals as the defense coordinator, and Bengals fans everywhere are celebrating. We got the coaching staff back for another year. So really not a lot of huge questions on this offense from a fantasy perspective. We know Burrow's good. We know Chase and Higgins are good. So the big question for me for the Bengals, with Samaje Perine gone as the preferred passing game option, how are we drafting the running back position in Cincy? Joe Mixon took a pay cut. He's got some pending legal troubles. I don't think he's going to get suspended. If he does, it's probably a minor suspension, but I think Mixon is in the clear. Callan, do you think Mixon is undervalued at ADP, or are you looking for some backups here that we should be drafting in Cincinnati?
I think Joe Mixon's a huge value this year. If you look at what they did at the running back position, when you lose a guy like Samaje Perine, you'd think even if you make like a low-level acquisition of some veteran depth, someone of his caliber to come in, maybe even like a Latavius Murray or something like that, they did nothing. Their only acquisition, like I said, was a fifth-round draft pick, and they kept Chris Evans, they kept Travion Williams, but let's face it, are any of them really threats to Joe Mixon's workload? I mean, Samaje Perine was the easy passing downs back in this backfield, and none of them have, at least at this point, really I know you're more locked in, but I really haven't heard any of their names as, you know, a camp standout. Like Steelers, we've had Jaylen Warren as a huge standout. Ravens, they're always talking about their other running backs, but with Bengals, you feel like you're hearing nothing about those backup guys. So I think Joe Mixon currently going as RB14 in NFC drafts is a huge value. You know he's going to get more than half the carries. You know he's going to be the lead guy. They're losing Samaje Perine. There's targets to go around that a good portion of them are likely going to go with Joe Mixon. So he's an RB1 you can get in the late third, early fourth round right now in ADP. I'm going to grab that as many drafts as I can.
Yeah, Mixon is a little tricky for me. He had a huge blow-up week last year where he scored 5 touchdowns against Carolina, 153 rushing yards. Outside of that, Mixon was really disappointing for a good chunk of the season. But he did get 75 targets and 60 receptions. And if you look at any of his like usage stats or expected points stats, like he should have scored more points than he did. So he was kind of bolstered by this one huge, like not fluky week, but just crazy big week. Normally I would be worried about that, but he did just kind of underperform in general. Mixon's like efficiency stats were really bad. So maybe he's reaching that point of his career where he's not that great anymore. I don't know, but like you said, there's just not much of a threat to him here. So almost by default, he's going to keep getting that volume and just better luck, he might score some more touchdowns. So I agree with you. Mixon is a really good target. If you are interested in the backup running back position, because you should be, like Samaje Perine was playing like 40% of the snaps some weeks. So there's a big role there. Travion Williams was kind of a favorite, and he's been out with an ankle injury, so he hasn't really been able to step up. I think Chase Brown, the 5th-round rookie, looks like someone who could provide like a spark to the offense, but he's a ways away from being trusted, I think, in the passing game as far as pass protection. I don't know. I will say Chris Evans has impressed a lot of people in camp this year. You probably don't need to draft him in a typical league, but I do think Evans is a really natural receiver and he's gotten a little better at pass blocking. So right now I think he's kind of the backup, but if Mixon got hurt, like they're not going to give Evans 25 carries. Like it would then be a mixture of Chase Brown and Evans. So I do think Evans is interesting in some deep leagues, some dynasty leagues, some deep PPR leagues. Like he could catch some passes early on, but yeah, I agree with you. It's Mixon and nobody else has really like made a huge move here in the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, over at the wide receiver position, you talked about, Chase and Higgins there. Easy drafts. Do you see T. Higgins taking that step this year? I know he's been a pretty solid WR2, WR1 some weeks. Do you see him taking that leap where they now have 2 WR1s for his coming season? Or you think T. Higgins just to continue what he's been doing as like a high level WR2 in that offense?
I think a lot of it depends on how, if Burrow hits the ground running week 1, then I think Higgins could have his best season yet. It was really exciting for part of the offseason because it looked like this was going to be Joe Burrow's first real training camp. He didn't get one during the COVID year of his rookie year. And then his second year, he was recovering from his ACL injury. And then last year, he had a really bad appendicitis towards the end or towards the middle of camp. So he's had all of his camps wiped out. And if he played this whole training camp healthy, firing on all cylinders, like I think this offense was going to put up astronomical numbers. It's still probably going to happen. And if Burrow's out there week 1 and he looks like, you know, better than he did week 1 last year against the Steelers, if you remember that, Callan, like I think Higgins could have a record setting season. So, or not record setting, but better than he has so far. So I don't have any worry about Higgins. He even had some games where he played like 1 snap and then got hurt. And that kind of hurts his overall points per game stats. So I feel really comfortable drafting Higgins where he goes. I don't think he's going to let you down. Maybe he is what he is at this point, but he's a really good player and I don't think that's going to change. Okay. I think that covers most of this team. We're going to get to fades and targets later on. We will touch on more players from all these teams, but yeah. Draft the pass catchers in Cincinnati. That'd be my primary advice here. So let's get on to Callan's Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got some notable additions as well. They brought in Allen Robinson, who actually seems like he's going to play slot receiver, which sounds kind of interesting. They drafted Isaac Seumalo to play offensive guard. I'm sorry, they actually signed him. They signed Cole Holcomb and Landon Roberts at linebacker. They kind of traded out their linebacking core here. Brought in Patrick Peterson at corner. Then they drafted Broderick Jones at offensive tackle in the first, Joey Porter Jr. at corner in the second, and Darnell Washington, the gigantic tight end, in the third round. So some of their departures, Devin Bush and Miles Jack at linebacker, Cameron Sutton at corner, Benny Snell at running back. So no coaching changes here in Pittsburgh. I know some people wanted Matt Canada gone, the offensive coordinator, but he returned. So my big question for the Steelers and for Callen is does George Pickens have what it takes to surpass Diontae Johnson as the Steelers' lead receiver, or will George Pickens be fighting for targets in a crowded passing game? Because there's a lot of talent in this passing game, and I know a lot of people want George Pickens to break out in the second year. What do you think here, Callen?
I think it's a yes and no situation. Clearly, Pickens is talented enough. We've seen in the preseason that he has those. We saw last season those highlight reel sort of catches. But then you just look at Diontae Johnson, and he's sort of been Kenny Pickett's safety blanket. I know Pickett and Pickens have a very strong rapport since they came into the league together, have now another year under their belt. But Diontae Johnson is just as safe a bet as it comes for 120 targets in that offense. We've seen even in the preseason, the Steelers are going to be passing the ball a bit more. They seem to continue to trust Kenny Pickett. So does Pickens have the talent to do so? Absolutely. He makes highlight reel sort of catches. He's going to be very close to what Diontae Johnson gets in terms of targets. Diontae Johnson's only on a one-year contract, so it's possible if this is his last year as a Pittsburgh Steeler. But because of how crowded the offense is, you got Johnson, you've got Pickens. Allen Robinson's going to get his work. I don't know if it's going to be anything notable. It's not going to be noticeable for fantasy perspective, but he's going to get work. Like I said, he's playing in the slot right now. I think he'll get somewhere between 10%, 12% some targets, which is still notable. Might not be someone you start for fantasy, but it's going to eat into the other receivers. And Pat Freiermuth is not going away at the tight end position. He's clearly someone you trust. You saw that beautiful pass from hit to him during the preseason game with Buffalo. Sure, it's preseason, but Freiermuth's the guy they trust in the red zone. It's a big body, and they bring in Darnell Washington for a similar reason, big body in the red zone. So I think Pickens is extremely talented, but Diontae Johnson is just an insanely safe bet where he's going right now to lead the team in targets. I don't really see that changing, though Pickens may be the more dynamic upside receiver.
Yeah, we actually talked a lot about Pickens on our earlier in the offseason. We had a sophomore wide receivers podcast that I did with Ryan Heath. There might be a few things outdated, I think, kind of like Treylon Burks before the DeAndre Hopkins trade, things like that. But it was a really good look at Pickens. He's doesn't get a lot of separation so far. It's a lot of contested catches. That's just kind of the question here is, are they going to give him some easier looks at accumulating PPR points? But Johnson and Pickens are going like right next to each other as far as ADP goes. So I think we'll talk about Diontae Johnson more later. I kind of lean Johnson, but I wouldn't be all that surprised if Pickens broke out here in year two with a second year quarterback. You know, they're kind of growing together here. So I don't think we've got a lot of running back talk lined up later in the fades and targets section. So I'd be curious, Callen, do you think Najee Harris is set for a bounce back year? It was kind of mediocre last year. Or do you think Jalen Warren's going to keep eating into his work and maybe make him not pay off on his ADP?
I think where Najee's going is perfectly fine. He's going as off the board as RB9. I have him RB9 in my ranks. Warren's going to get work, and it's going to be more work than I probably would like early on. But they've already came out, as Matt Canada came out and said, but Najee Harris is still the lead back. Mike Tomlin likes to go with the one running back, and they've used the first-round capital on Najee Harris. I don't see them going fully away. It's the same thing. He's still going to be involved in the passing game, while Warren will eat into the work a little bit. It's tough for me to believe that Najee Harris is just going away. Mike Tomlin has had a hard time and doesn't really do the running back by committee. He might use Warren a little bit more than we're used to. But in going in the third round where Najee's going, I think that's just a safe, solid guy who we know is going to get around 300 touches this coming season. It's just easy to predict, and it's pretty safe where he's going. I think he's due for a bit of a bounce back, and he'll still be involved throughout. They'll eat into some targets. The receiver we were just talking about, he's going to be the lead back, and while Warren will spell him a little bit, it's still very safe where he's gone.
Yeah, he going like RB9, RB10. I don't mind that range in running back. I would just say, like, if he's going around ADP 28 overall, there are some receivers around there I would much rather take than him. So, like, if Olave is on the board or T. Higgins or maybe even DK Metcalf or Calvin Ridley, I think I would rather take those receivers. So it's more of a preference if you want running backs or wide receivers early. But I agree, like, if you want a running back, he's going to get 60% of the snaps or so. That's the best that most running backs are getting nowadays outside of a very few. And Najee was playing with a foot injury that he got before the season started last year. So I do think we're a little hard on Najee. He might not be the super talented player we thought he was going to be, like explosive runner, but I also think we're being a little bit too hard on.
If you are a Najee believer, buy into the likely slight ADP bump just based off Jalen Warren getting the 62-yard touchdown last preseason game and all Twitter talks, all the highlights is that run from Jalen Warren, which was very impressive. But if you're a Najee guy, I expect that even if it's a minor drop in ADP because of X, more people are going to buy into Jalen Warren. I'll take some advantage of that for sure.
Yeah, and this is a time of the year where ADP changes very quickly. Warren, if he's still around, like pick 168, like I think it's a, I'm usually not one to advocate handcuffing your running backs, but I think in this case, handcuffing Najee Harris with Jalen Warren is not a bad idea just because he's so cheap. So we'll see if his price goes up. But yeah, I think we got some more Steelers to talk about in targets and fades. So let's move on from there and let's get to the Baltimore Ravens, another excellent team in this division. Notable additions, Odell Beckham Jr. and Nelson Aguilar at wide receiver. They also drafted Zay Flowers in the first round at wide receiver. They brought in Melvin Gordon, which is just hilarious. It fits in with this Ravens backfield just perfectly over the years. They brought in Rock Ya-Sin at cornerback and drafted Trenton Simpson, third-round linebacker. They lost Kenyon Drake at running back, so kind of trade Drake for Gordon. That makes sense. DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins are gone as receivers. They lost Marcus Peters, and they lost Chuck Clark, so lost a little bit of secondary help. But the big news here in Baltimore, Todd Monken replaces Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. Todd Monken was last seen with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston just bombing the ball downfield in that offense. No risk it, no biscuit, I believe, type offense there. So big things are expected here in Baltimore with the passing game. So that's my big question for you, Callan. With the change at offensive coordinator leading to a potentially more modern passing game as opposed to what Greg Roman was running, who do you think stands to gain the most from this change in Baltimore?
I think it's got to be Lamar Jackson. You sit back and all the talk about Lamar has always been he's a safe quarterback because he can run the ball. He's a safe quarterback because he can run the ball. We'll see what he can do in the passing game. But now he's going to be throwing the ball more, and you see the weapons that they brought in to allow him to do so. They use the first-round pick on Zay Flowers. They go out and get Odell Beckham. They keep Rashad Bateman. They added people this offseason for the sole purpose of improving the passing game, including the acquisition, like I said, of Todd Monken as offensive coordinator. So we know what Mark Andrews is going to do. He's going to be great. He's going to be tight end too. But the person who can gain most from them throwing the ball more and having more of a modern passing game, it is Lamar Jackson, because he has that safe floor for running where he's going to get 40 to 50 yards per game just on his legs alone. Now add in 25 to 30 passes a game with an improved receiver room. There's no telling what upside Lamar Jackson can have this season. He's currently going off the board as a fifth or sixth quarterback, depending on where you're drafting him. And he's got that upside to easily get into that elite top three tier with just his legs alone. So add in an improved passing game. There's no telling what Lamar Jackson's upside can be this season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The receivers, the fantasy community kind of doesn't know what to do with them right now, I don't think. Like, Odell Beckham's going around like wide receiver 40 on Fantasy Pros. Zay Flowers, wide receiver 47. Rashad Bateman just got back to practice. He hasn't really been able to stay healthy so far in his career. He's going at wide receiver 55. So I do think one of these guys could break out. I'm just really struggling who it could be, because Odell Beckham Jr. has had a ton of health issues. Bateman's had health issues. He's just coming back to practice. Zay Flowers is a rookie. He's also a smaller rookie. He's really impressed in training camp and in preseason, but you know, there's always kind of health concerns with rookies and smaller players like that anyway. So it's going to be really good for Lamar and this whole passing game. It's just kind of hard to figure out from a fantasy perspective who to take here. So I've been struggling. I probably need to take more of someone. I don't know if you have any strong stances on these receivers. I know you have one in your fade section, but is there anyone you're really looking for here?
I'm probably just going to take the last of them to go off the board because they're so close in ADP. And the difference in currently where we're going right now, just like I said, the one I'm going to be fading is basically because he will likely be the first one off the board. It's so unpredictable. No one's really, well, I mean, you could say one maybe emerged on that Monday night game, but it's just such a tough thing to try and predict the receiver room right now where I'll just take the chance on the last guy to go off the board because it'll be the cheapest and their production, at least how I'm projecting it right now, is going to be very similar to the other two.
Yeah, I've actually found myself drafting quite a bit of Mark Andrews this year, and I usually don't draft tight ends very early. I think he could be the sneaky beneficiary of all this. Like, they've talked about having a more up-tempo offense too, so just more plays, more passes. I mean, Mark Andrews, he's kind of like Travis Kelce. We always talk about who the wide receiver one is going to be, and it's probably just the tight end. So Andrews has been awesome. I've been drafting him a pretty good amount. Like, when you can get him in the third round, I think that's a really nice discount on Kelce. Like, Kelsey's the better player, obviously, but, you know, fifth overall Kelce compared to Andrews in the third round, I kind of like that. So he's been the one I've been attacking in this passing game, and then Lamar himself. So we will get more to the running backs later on. So we'll save the running back position for the Ravens for later. So let's move on to the fourth team in this division, the Cleveland Browns. Probably projected. Well, I don't know if they're projected to finish last at this point. Maybe the Steelers are, but pretty good team if they are the one projected to finish last. They've obviously got Deshaun Watson with his first full season in a while. Notable additions, though, they brought in wide receiver Elijah Moore, wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, tight end Jordan Akins, Za'Darius Smith. He's an edge player over from Minnesota. They brought in defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson, safety Juan Thornhill, and they drafted Cedric Tillman in the third and DeJuan Jones, offensive tackle, in the fourth. So a few additions to the receiving core here in Cleveland. They lost Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, Kareem Hunt at running back, Dearness Johnson at running back, and Jadeveon Clowney at edge. So switched out a few running backs, and they also switched out their defensive coordinator. Jim Schwartz comes in to replace Joe Woods. I think that's a pretty big positive for the Browns overall. Jim Schwartz has traditionally gotten quite a lot out of his pass rush, so kind of scary for the rest of us in this division. So, Callan, big question here with the Browns. It's a pretty simple one. How does a full season of Deshaun Watson affect what was previously a very run-heavy offense led by Nick Chubb? Like, what does a full season now look like that they've had some time to kind of regroup?
I think it makes some for some values in the passing game, you know, particularly Amari Cooper and David Njoku are two guys who I wouldn't say are full targets, but where we're going at ADP, it's pretty reasonable. They have a full season now to work with Deshaun Watson. Let's not forget that, you know, he was suspended for the beginning of the season, and the reason he struggled so much was he wasn't able to work with the team until it was literally the week he was coming back and getting the practice. So having a full offseason to get incorporated with Amari Cooper, with David Njoku, I think it's going to be do wonders for this offense, and it'll still be a run-first offense. Nick Chubb is still really good. He's a top five, top six, however you want to put it, running back, and he's going at a very good spot in your drafts. But I think it does create some values at the as to the passing game with Amari Cooper and David Njoku. Let's not forget that at the last 2 weeks of the season, Deshaun Watson was a quarterback eight and then quarterback six. So we started to see some signs of life from Watson towards the end of last season. Maybe it's because it was week 17, week 18, and some quarterbacks were sitting. But it still means good things for me as we go into this coming season. A lot of things to look forward to. So I wouldn't say I'm fully attacking this offense, but where they are going, I'm not fading it like I was or thought I might be at the beginning of the offseason once I started working things out. There's a lot to like in Cleveland. While Watson may not get back to his pre-suspension self where he was a top five quarterback for fantasy, they're going to throw it enough of him because they have enough of an investment in him where they're going to find a way to get things to work out however it goes.
Yeah, I'm a little worried because I'm not drafting anyone on this offense right now other than, you know, Nick Chubb when it's the right spot. Part of it, I think it's just because of the whole Deshaun Watson situation. It's not a lot of fun to root for. And, you know, it's a division rival too, being a Bengals fan. So I'm a little worried that's clouding my judgment here. So I'm worried I'm going to get burned by it because there's a lot of talent here for sure. I think it's going to be interesting to see which way this offense goes because you hear people hyping this up as you know, if Watson's better and with the weapons in the passing game, and this is a dynamic passing attack. And but you also hear people hyping up Nick Chubb about how he's really the only running back in this backfield now and how much work he's going to get. And I just wonder if they try to air it out more, if they lose any of the ability they had in the rushing game. I mean, I think Stefanski's good enough that he can merge this together, but I don't know. I'm just curious. Like, I don't think everyone's going to break out here, and it seems like there's a lot of hype behind all these players. So I'm curious if they're going to maybe struggle in the passing game and then just fall back on Nick Chubb or what. I originally thought I was like completely out on Elijah Moore. His ADP is like kind of higher than I feel comfortable drafting him, but it's kind of cooled off some now. I think he's going around wide receiver 50, and they really do seem to be intent on using Elijah Moore quite a bit. They got him from the Jets. He kind of got in some trouble there and moved on, and just trouble with the coaching staff. And it seems like he's going to be kind of like the guy they scheme up short stuff for. And they've had him lining up in the backfield and stuff like that. So he's kind of intriguing if he's really going around wide receiver 50. There was some hype earlier on in the offseason, I think maybe underdog drafts, best ball drafts, and he was going way too early for me. So if he's around there, I'm interested in Elijah Moore. And then, I don't know, Callan, I think like Amari Cooper just kind of is what he is. I don't know if there's another level to him, but you can certainly start him every week.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm really targeting Amari Cooper where he's going, but I don't hate it. He's not a fade, but he's not a full target. If he's available and, you know, depending on the build I have, I'm fine taking him where he's going. I believe right now in NFC drafts, he's going at wide receiver 20 within the past week, which it's about where you expect him to be. He's going to be a solid wide receiver 2 week to week. It's hard for me to get into this Elijah Moore hype as much as I want to. Where he's going, it's reasonable. Like NFC, he's going at wide receiver 42, which I was a bit shocked to see when I was getting ready for the show. I didn't realize he'd be that high off it. They still have Donovan Peoples-Jones, so I don't know if it's going to go fully away. Elijah Moore may be the number two, but I'm kind of in a David Njoku as a late-round flyer tight end, and that's going to be a pretty similar target share to what I would expect for Elijah Moore. So I don't know. I think Elijah Moore, I don't want to say I'm fully out on, but where he's going, if there's other receivers that are going after him, I'd rather take the shot on Michael Thomas for a bounce back. I'd rather take a possible shot on, you know, Kadarius Toney maybe, or Treylon Burks with the injury discount. Maybe we'll just take that shot. So I don't know. I'm unlikely to get a lot of Elijah Moore, but other people in the passing game, sure, I'll take that chance on him.
Yep, and I will say David Njoku, he is right in the range of three tight ends, Evan Engram, him, and Pat Freiermuth, that I find myself drafting quite a bit. Yep. I just like where they're going in drafts. You can get Njoku around pick 82 overall. Nice discount on like Dallas Goedert to pick 60. And Njoku was pretty good last year. His tight end 8 overall points per game. And, you know, if this offense does break out, I think there's it doesn't take as much a tight end to have a spikier and really climb the ranks. So I do think that Njoku could have a really nice season. So I guess he's the main one I'm drafting in this offense, other than Nick Chubb when he is available. So, okay, let's get on to the fades and targets for the AFC North. We'll start with the all target team. Who from this division can we not get enough of at their current ADP? I'm going to start out at quarterback here, and I don't know. This was kind of a tough one for me to pick. I went with Lamar Jackson, 33 overall ADP. It's a little high. It's a little higher than I would like to draft a quarterback. But when he falls into the fourth round, I think it's a really nice value. He's going off the board as the QB4. He's had 9 or more rushing attempts per game in each of the last 3 seasons. And Lamar's actually been kind of unlucky with his rushing touchdowns. He's only scored 5 over his last 24 games, which is kind of crazy. You would expect Lamar to be scoring one every other game, maybe. So I think a little extra luck in the touchdown department from Lamar. And then all that we talked about with Todd Monken coming over and rejuvenating this passing game. If you miss out on the top quarterbacks, Lamar is as good of a choice as any. If you miss out on that top tier of Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes, I like drafting Lamar Jackson unless you want to wait. So we obviously need him to stay healthy, but he's a pretty safe 20 points per game with upside for more if this whole situation clicks here.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I think he's right in that tier of quarterbacks that I'm targeting a lot this season. Him, you know, so Joe Burrow, or Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, even in that sort of tier. So I'm fully in at that. Like, we had enough good things to say about how much he's going to improve with this passing game. So, you know, going off the board, 4th or 5th quarterback to be taken, he's got as much likelihood as any of those guys to emerge in the top 3 by the end of the season. So I love the value there. I would say he's one of my QB, my short list of QB targets this year.
Okay. All right, Callan, take us to your running back target from this division.
I said a lot about him at the beginning when we were breaking down the Bengals, but it's Joe Mixon, currently going off the board at pick 44 on NFBC. I just did a, I'm in the middle of a 10-team draft where he was my first pick in the fourth round. I will take that value any day of the week for a guy who is the clear number one in this offense. It's, there's no Samaje Perine to take away from the passing work. While he might not be, you know, one of the elite pass catchers in terms of running backs, I don't expect Chase Evans or Travion Williams or any of those running backs to really jump in and all of a sudden be, you know, take getting to, you know, 10% target share or anything like that. I think Joe Mixon has as much. We talk about Nick Chubb being a clear benefit with Kareem Hunt leaving to get improved passing game. Joe Mixon belongs to be in that conversation without a Samaje Perine, where he can get around. Even last year, he had a 14% target share, and that was with Samaje Perine. Take Samaje Perine out, and that's almost a safe bet to be around that. And that's going to get himself to around 75 targets or so for his coming season. So there's a lot to like about him. He's as safe as they come at the running back position without anyone around him. So to be able to get him as, you know, in terms of how where people drafting him, valuing it as an RB2, where he's got easily that chance to be a safe RB1 back end, and you can get that the late third, early fourth round, I will happily take that and start off my drafts. Two wide receivers, it means Joe Mixon can be my RB1.
Yeah, and I mean, they kind of figured out the running game out of shotgun last year. With the addition of Orlando Brown, they've got some big offensive linemen that can kind of do that downhill running. So, yeah, I think the running game could be a little better this year, too, for Mixon. So, I like it. I would say maybe honorable mention for Jalen Warren. We'll see how much his ADP goes up, but he's just kind of a cheap shot towards the end of drafts that I like. So, okay, let's get to wide receiver position. My target from this division. So I skipped over the Bengals receivers. Like I think you draft them where they go off the board, and I'm more than happy drafting them in the first or third round, wherever they're going. So I'm going to go with Diontae Johnson for the Steelers. We kind of talked about this before, but like he got an average 153 targets per season over the past 3 years, and you can get him in the seventh or eighth round. Like at some point when you're playing fantasy football, you just can't pass up that value of production. Sure, maybe it comes down this year with Pickens improving, but he's still going to get a lot of passes. And Pittsburgh could pass the ball more this year as they feel more comfortable with Kenny Pickett. So the knock on Diontae Johnson is he famously scored zero touchdowns last year, but his touchdown rate was fine the previous two seasons. It's not like this has been a career-long issue. So if you look at the Steelers' target leaders within the 10-yard line last year, Freiermuth had six targets. Diontae had five. Najee had five. Pickens had four. It's not like Diontae was just ignored when they got close to the end zone. So I think that'll improve, even if it's only 140 targets, 130 targets this year in the seventh or eighth round. I just think that's a ton of value. So, you know, Diontae Johnson is your wide receiver three. It's really nice compared to, you know, maybe last year where he's a wide receiver two. So it's just a nice value for him. So I find myself picking him up when he's kind of fallen a little bit in ADP.
Yeah, we talked about the game, but I'm fully in it that instead of red zone targets, he had 18 targets in the red zone last season.
Yep.
There's just a lot to like him. Zero touchdowns. There's no way he's going to get zero touchdowns here. It's going to go up. It's just, that's just such a random anomaly where, you know, there's a lot of good receivers going at that point in around the 30s that I'm willing to take the shot on. So I'm not going to, you know, Diontae's fine where he's going. It's not a full target for me. Maybe I'm more willing to take a shot on the upside, but if I had to pick between the Steelers, sure, Diontae Johnson's still the receiver I have ranked over George Pickens. It's close, but he's as safe as they come. Like you said, you get that at your flex and then you could take a shot on someone late for wide receiver four. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and Kenny Pickett only threw seven touchdowns last year and it looks like 12 or so starts. So there's just some positive regression coming here in the passing game because Kenny Pickett looked pretty solid for a rookie. So I don't think he's some bust out there by any means. So, all right, let's get on to the tight end position. Callen, who are you targeting at tight end in this division?
Tight end is pretty good for this division. We talk about David Njoku as someone I liked at his value. So sure, take that. If you talk about Mark Andrews at tight end two in the third round, love it. I'll happily take that. For me, I'll be a homer for this one because a lot of my drafts, I do end up taking tight end late. You talk about wanting Mark Andrews in the third, and then I've gone into drafts thinking how awesome that would be. Then I actually get on the clock with the opportunity to take Mark Andrews, and it's like, well, there's another good receiver here. There's another good running back I could take here. So I'd rather just wait and grab a tight end late. And if I'm going to do that, going off the board is tight end 9, tight end 10 in a lot of sites, Pat Freiermuth. And it's basically take what you said about Deontay Johnson, where it's safety, it's touchdown upside. And if I'm taking a tight end that late, I think Freiermuth's got that upside. Last year was the tight end 8. Only had 2 touchdowns last year compared to 7 his rookie season. So I think there's another guy, positive regression coming that way. He wasn't targeted as much in the red zone. He only had 10 targets in the red zone last year, which is a little concerning. And they brought in Darnell Washington. But I'm not ready to just all of a sudden say Freiermuth's going to be out. And if you watched a preseason game and you saw that 1 touchdown pass to Freiermuth, you sit back and think, okay, this is about a very safe guy. So if you want to take a shot late at tight end, which is where I usually end up taking my tight ends, at least in my early drafts, Freiermuth is about as safe as they come, and he's got the touchdown upside to possibly break into that top 5 or so tight ends. I mean, he's not going to obviously get to Andrews and Kelsey, but would it shock me if he was a top, ends up at 5 or 6 in the ranks? No, not at all.
Yep, totally agree. You took most of my my points there from my tight end rankings on the website right now. But yeah, I mean, he scored about the same points per game his first 2 years in the league, and that was with 7 touchdowns as a rookie and 2 touchdowns last year. So yeah, some better touchdown luck. I mean, it's pretty impressive 2 years in the league as a tight end. It's a tough position to pick up, and he was already at 98 targets. That was number 2 on the Steelers last year. So like, it's just all signs are pointing up for Freiermuth. Most tight ends don't do this young in their career. So I am willing to bet on him. Like I said before, him and Njoku, this is the range of tight ends I'm drafting most of the time, unless I decide to spend up for Mark Andrews. Okay, let's get to our all fade team here. Players from this division that we are passing on and letting our league mates draft at ADP. I think at ADP is the key here. So, Callan, you're up first at quarterback, and we'll see if I let you back on the podcast after this one.
I was about to say, I'm glad you're no longer editor-in-chief, so you don't have the higher fire shades, because what I'm going to say might be a fireable offense. But Joe Burrow, I had to pick a fade. And like I said, he's in that range of quarterbacks I'm likely targeting at this point, so he's not a – I had to pick somebody at this point. And just with other quarterbacks, he's the first of that group of Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Justin Fields going. It's mainly solely because of that. If I'm going to wait for a quarterback, I'll wait for a guy going a couple picks later for our Justin Herbert, who I think has as much, if not more, potential to throw for similar yardage, similar touchdowns to what Joe Burrow. And adding the fact he's dealing with a calf strain, do I expect that to really be a major concern long term? No, he's still my quarterback 4 in my rankings, but it's just more the tier he's in. I'd rather just wait and get the last quarterback of that tier and take a Herbert or a, you talk about Lamar Jackson being a target. It's solely because he's just going first. If he was going where Lamar Jackson was going, I'd probably have him as my target at quarterback. But because he's the first of that grouping, I'd rather just wait and get someone at a similar value a little bit later in the draft. But yeah, he's obviously very good and has as much potential as those guys to get up there. I'd just rather wait and get someone who project similarly a few picks later if I can.
Yeah, now I mean, I actually totally agree. I have not drafted a lot of Burrow in drafts so far this offseason. I mean, like you mentioned, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, those are 2 quarterbacks that, like, you know, about the same rushing amount from both of them that Burrow has. You can get them later. Burrow's not going to give you that crazy rushing ability that breaks fantasy leagues like Jalen Hurts does or Josh Allen. So I totally get fading Burrow, and I think the, as you said, you got to pick someone in this division. So that's kind of part of it too. So if not for the calf injury, I would give more of a pushback, but it's just enough question. Yeah, I think I'm probably taking a receiver instead of him right here, for example, and taking another quarterback later. So, okay, let's get on to the all fade team at running back. I'll take this one. I'm going to go with J.K. Dobbins for the Baltimore Ravens. I faded him last year. It worked out pretty well for me. He is back from the PUP list, just activated. So he's kind of coming back from health. I mean, he played last year off of his major injury, and he started to look a little better towards the end of the year. But I don't know. For me, Dobbins, he's going pick 63 overall, running back 24. Like, in that range, you can take like Mike Williams, receiver for the Chargers, or Alexander Mattison, who I think is just going to get a massive workload, or Drake London, who's just a target hog. I think you can take those players in this range over Dobbins. And I just don't trust Dobbins to stay healthy, for one, and to get that massive workload. Like, sure, he's got a career 5.9 yards per attempt in this offense, but like, Gus Edwards has a 5.2 yards per attempt on the ground. Like, this is just an offense that gives good yards per attempt. So I don't know that Dobbins is like some just breakout waiting to happen here. I think he kind of is what he is, just 25 career receptions since coming into the league in 2020. So I don't know, maybe there's a chance that Todd Monken changes that and Lamar starts dumping down to Dobbins all of a sudden, but I just don't think it's going to happen. They've got too many other options in the passing game now. So I don't know, Dobbins, I think he's going to have some nice weeks where the rushing yardage is there and he scores some touchdowns, but I would rather personally wait a few rounds and get Isaiah Pacheco or Jared Cook or, you know, David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, someone like that. So I don't know. I would just kind of rather wait and let someone else take him. I just don't think the upside is there. And I think it's at Jared Cook. I, of course, meant James Cook. I'm not going to draft the old retired tight end. So sure. I don't know. What do you think? Dobbins, am I wrong fading him kind of a year off injury?
No, I wouldn't say you're wrong. I kind of have him right at that spot. He's running back 21 for me, where I'm okay with the price. I'd probably go elsewhere, but if he sucks around, I just drafted him, you know, fifth round in a 12-team league where I need like an RB3. So I'm good with it at that point. He's one of the hardest guys to project and to rank for me this season because, like you said, there are going to obviously a more pass-heavy offense than we've seen. And he has had this hold in contract situation where I don't fully know what to expect, but it's another similar thing. They haven't really added to the running back. I know they added Melvin Gordon, but it's more of the corpse of Melvin Gordon. How much of a difference is he really going to make at this point? So it's another guy I'd say he's not a full fade, but he's not a full target. I'm kind of just okay where he's going. If my build, you know, I can use a good upside running back three, sure, I'll take the shot. I have him ranked as an RB2, so I'm okay with him where he's going. I think they'll still obviously use him. They're not going to go fully away from the ground. He's still going to be the lead guy in a backfield that I still think is going to be a run-first offense, but they'll be obviously passing a lot more. So he's going where he's going. I'm okay with it. I'm not fully fading him, but I'm not, you know, circling his name as I need to walk out of drafts for him. I'll probably get a share or two and then just see what happens.
I think I'm just tired of trying to chase this Ravens backfield. Like it's been a committee a lot. And then especially when you consider like Lamar Jackson's basically the lead in this committee, like just because they're going to pass more and it's a new offense doesn't mean that Lamar is not going to run it a ton. So for me, Dobbins is just kind of a committee back with some explosiveness, but he hasn't stayed healthy and he doesn't catch a lot of passes. So I'm just fading him typically. So I loved him coming out of the draft and I'm sad to fade him, but this will be 2 years in a row. So all right, Callan, who are you fading at wide receiver?
We'll stick with Baltimore. We kind of talked about it with the passing attack. I'm fading Zay Flowers, and especially coming off of this Monday night game where he was the talk of fantasy Twitter. It's another guy I expect to see an ADP bump where he's going to get to a price where I'm just going to sit out and probably not end up with much of him because of how unpredictable this offense is. Everyone always talks about follow the capital, follow the investment. Yes, Zay Flowers was a first-round pick. They gave Odell Beckham a nice contract to come play for Baltimore, and I don't think Odell Beckham's going to sign it with a team where he's being promised, you know, I'm really promised that you can be the one in this offense. If I'm projecting, I still think Flowers will likely lead the team in targets in terms of receivers. We all know Mark Andrews is going to be the top receiving target, but I can't pay the likely ADP bump we're going to see based off that Monday night performance. Anytime you have someone who's not just doing it in preseason, but doing it on national TV on ESPN. The talk of fantasy Twitter right now is Zay Flowers, and I expect him to get into, you know, right now he's going outside of the top 40 wide receivers. I think he could very easily end up inside that top 40. And with how similar I think they're going to end up being in terms of production-wise with Odell Beckham and even Rashad Bateman, who's starting to get some work, I'll wait and just take the shot on Bateman later, like two rounds later, Odell Beckham a round and a half, two rounds later, something like that. So I love the talent. I think there's a lot to possibly like for Zay Flowers. Just take the receivers that are going around him. I'll wait and get someone who I know will be the two in their offense or the one in their offense going around that same cost and take the shot on Zay Flowers, who, for all we know, could be the third receiver in Baltimore.
Yeah. I mean, you're bold doing this one because he is the talk of fantasy Twitter right now. I mean, even real NFL Twitter, like it's just everyone's in love with him right now. I do agree. Like we need to see a lot more to vault him up too high in the rankings. And I think he is going to shoot up the rankings. I mean, it would not be that hard to see him up in the wide receiver 35 range. I mean, that's like where Marquise Brown is. So we'll see how high the hype gets here, but Yeah, I'm not willing to fully buy in either. I hope I don't get burned by this, but generally I feel like this rookie class was a little underwhelming, the rookie wide receiver class in the NFL. So just because he was picked 22 in the first round, like, I don't know. It just feels a little different. A lot of these receivers hung around a little bit, like Jackson Smith and Jigba was the first off the board, but this wasn't a draft with, like, you know, Jamar Chase's and Justin Jefferson's, although he did go later in the first round. But I don't know. I guess my kind of point is just that, like, I didn't see any dynamic talents in this receiving core coming into the league. So I'm kind of fading them all a little bit this year. We'll see if it burns me. But yeah, I think I like your idea. Just take the cheapest Raven pass catcher.
Yeah, it's less about the talent of Zay Flowers, but the likely ADP jump that we're going to see because of what he did on Monday night.
All right. And then finally, let's get to our fade at tight end. I'm going to go with the Bengals' Irv Smith. It's kind of hard to say fade a tight end when he's picked 208 where Irv Smith is. So it's more just I like all the other tight ends in this division quite a bit. And I kind of thought there'd be a little bit more Irv Smith hype this year. It hasn't materialized. So he's fine to draft where he is, but I had to pick one here. I like all the others better. But for Irv Smith, it's really just he's trapped behind three really good receivers in Cincinnati. So it's going to be tough for him to get too much volume. He's also struggled to stay on the field. Irv Smith has yet to reach 400 yards receiving in a season. And that was in a good passing game in Minnesota. It's not like he was coming from, you know, the Bears where they're throwing 15 times a game. So I think there's a path to a breakout for Irv Smith. It probably involves some people getting hurt above him or some big plays here or there. I don't mind him in deep leagues, but I just don't see any reason to target him. And I much prefer all the rest of the tight ends in this division.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's not too much more to add there. Irv Smith's always a guy who I felt like would end up in that low end tight end one, high end two, when we would do the weekly shows together. Someone I'd be like, oh, this could be the week, this could be the season, and it never materializes. Now he goes to Cincinnati, where, like you said, there's a lot better weapons around him than there were in Minnesota. So if you want to take him late, if you're in a 15-16 team league and you want to take him as a shot on him, sure, but I like the other tight ends too much to call one of them a fade. So yeah, sure, Irv Smith, we can fade him.
Yep, and I mean, Hayden Hurst played really well for the Bengals last year, actually, and it didn't amount to all that much from a fantasy perspective, so I kind of expect the same from Irv Smith. So, all right, before we get to the win totals, Callan, anyone we missed in this division? You think we covered it all? Anyone, any last takes you need to get out here?
No, I think we kind of covered it all. I know you talked about when we were doing some pre-show notes, Kenny Pickett being a target in two QB leagues, and I'm all on board with that. I think you've seen enough, even as another guy who he's going to run the ball a fair amount. I think they're going to throw more than they have. So Kenny Pickett's got that upside in a two QB league where I'm good, you know, a low end quarterback too, but sure. Yeah. You talked about him. So I'll throw that in as a, you know, sleeper at the quarterback position that we didn't give as much love. We gave the weapons around him, but if they're all going to be good, like we think they are, then that's got to mean good things for Pickett.
Yep. And I'll just mention Chris Evans again, third down back potentially for the Bengals. Just very deep dynasty leagues, very deep leagues. But I think he probably got dropped in a lot of dynasty leagues. And he might be the third down back to start the season. We'll see how long it lasts. So not your standard league, but I just wanted to mention that again. So, okay, let's get into the 2-minute drill here. We're going through over under season win totals from FanDuel as of Tuesday, August 22nd. So Cal and I are going to pick an over and under here. So let's get into it. We're going to start with the Cincinnati Bengals. Their win total is 11.5. Overs plus 118, under minus 144. So what are you picking, over or under here for the Bengals, Cal?
The value of plus 18, I'll take over for the Bengals. I'm sure some people will probably be fading it because of Joe Burrow's injury, but like I said, I don't think it's going to be a major concern for them. And as much as this will give me some points back from saying Joe Burrow's a fade, the Bengals are really good. They could easily represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So I'll take the chance on the over. I think they're clearly still the best team in this really competitive division. And yeah, there's a lot to like with the additions they brought in. And I think you take the shot to go for the value. They could easily end up with 12, 13 wins this year.
Yep. So the AFC North plays the NFC West this year. So a couple tough teams, a couple easier teams, and then they play the AFC South. So that's a pretty good slate there. So just that's like shared games with this whole division here. So I'm going to take the over on the Bengals. It's hard for me to pick the under anyway, so take it with a grain of salt. I think the biggest hesitation for me to pick the over is that this is such a tough division. Like the Bengals could go 3-3 in the division. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And then all of a sudden you need them to reel off 9 wins outside the division. So there are some winnable games on their schedule though. I mean, they get the Cardinals and we'll see how the Rams are looking. They've got the Texans, Colts, you know, there's some winnable games. So we'll see. Just if they struggle in the division, it's going to be tough to get to 12, but I trust them. This is a balanced team across the roster. So, okay, let's get to the Ravens. Ravens are at 10.5 wins, -102 on the over, -120 on the under. So pretty balanced here. You taking over or under on the Ravens?
I'm going to go over. This was one that was probably my toughest call. They were kind of around that border where I could easily see them finishing with 10 wins or 11 wins and be right on that. But I think they brought in enough to improve his team. If I expect Lamar Jackson to take this step forward, like we're kind of projecting him to do and being a top 5 fantasy quarterback, it's got to mean good things for the team overall. He said very winnable games against Arizona, against Los Angeles, and they've gone to Houston, Indianapolis. I think there's winnable games for them. If they're going to take the step forward, they're going to need to win those games. So I think they can slightly over and, you know, it's going to be it's tough though, because like you said, they could easily go 3-3 against Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the scary part about this whole division. It's just you never know how these games are going to go. So I also went with the over here. I just think there's too much talent on Baltimore. I trust Lamar Jackson when he's on the field. This defense, when they got Roquan Smith last year, was awesome. That Bengals playoff game where they survived against Tyler Huntley, a quarterback, like it was a battle. I don't want to play that defense anymore. And they'll play him twice every year as a Bengals fan. So, I just trust the Ravens to squeak out 11 wins here. So I'm going to take the over on the Ravens as well. So, all right, let's get to probably the trickier ones here, Callan. Cleveland Browns, 9.5 wins. Under is -134, over is +108. What do you have on the Browns?
I'm going to take the under there because someone's got to be under. And I just think, you know, it's hard for me to fully trust Cleveland. We don't fully know what Deshaun Watson we're going to get for this season. I think for fantasy, we're going to get a better Watson. But what does that equate to NFL-wise? I'm not sure. Like you said, it's a, they're still not better than Cincinnati. They're still not better against Baltimore. So you could easily see maybe only one win in those shared games. And then you put him on the road against Seattle. That's a tough road game. You have to go on the road to Denver, who I think he matches up to them pretty evenly this season. It's just a lot of neutral opponents that they have to play road games against that I'm not fully going to buy into them. And it's another team that didn't do too much to improve themselves during the offseason. So I have to pick someone to be under in this division. So I just think it ultimately comes down to Cleveland.
Yeah, I took the under on 9.5 as well. They have a ton of talent, and if Deshaun Watson plays well, they could easily hit the over. But I do think there's a few ways where this goes south, and you got some finger pointing going on, and I just think it's a volatile team. So I would not be surprised if they hit a rough stretch here at some point this year. So I'll take the under on the Browns. Seems like they win the offseason like every single offseason. So I think I'm just going to keep betting against them until it finally turns around. So I don't know. If it was a different division, I would take the over, but this is just a tough division here. So, okay, let's get to your Pittsburgh Steelers. Over under 8.5 wins. Over is at -150 though, so a lot of people are betting the over. Yeah. Under is +120. What do you got, Callan?
As tempting as the fact that it's -150 is and everyone's betting it, I have to still go over. Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season ever as a head coach, and I expect that trend to continue this season. They've done a lot to improve, and that defense, just even when they keep losing guys, it's still really good. We obviously know how good TJ Watt is. We know Cameron Hayward's very good. Micah Fitzpatrick. They brought in some additions. They brought in Patrick Peterson that I can think only helped the secondary. And I expect Kenny Pickett to take another step forward where this team's going to be hovering around that. I think they can finish, 9-8, maybe even 10-7 and compete for a wild card. Obviously, if even they make the playoffs, it's going to be get trounced in the first round by one of the really, really good teams in the AFC. But there's a lot to like in what I've seen so far of Pittsburgh. So I'll drink the Kool-Aid as a Steeler fan. And expect I'm not betting against Mike Tomlin. He finds a way to get a winning record every year. So I'm going to stick with it and expect that he'll find a way even with this season.
Yeah, I'll be the idiot that picks the under on the win total, something Tomlin's never done. So part of it's -150 on the over. Yeah. That's a pretty steep price. And I wanted to differentiate from you a little bit. So I went with the under. It's really just tough division, still a young quarterback. Like I'm higher on Kenny Pickett than a lot of people are, I think. I don't know that he's quite to the level yet, though, where we can count on him for 9-10 wins every year. Again, though, I mean, Tomlin does it, so it probably doesn't matter, but it's going to be close. We know they're going to be between like 7-10 wins, I would say. They're not going to fall apart. Their defense is way too good. So I'll take the under, but I definitely am holding my breath on that one, that's for sure. So, okay, let's get to a quick four downs with our guest, even though these are really designed for our outside guests who have been a part of these podcast series. Let's get some questions out to Callan here. So, Callan, question one, first down, whatever you want to call it. When did you start playing fantasy football? And do you remember some of the stars like on your first squad or two that either won or, you know, came close to winning or kind of piqued your excitement here in fantasy football?
So I had to look back when I was preparing for this one because I remember my first league was with one of my good family friends was doing a league. It was back in 2007. I was 10 years old. He had an opening. It was like, I was a big football fan, so I was, let's do this. I'm like, all right. Pretty sure I auto-drafted that team, but I still won that league my first year. I look back. I had Ben Roethlisberger, and I had Randy Moss that year, and that was the 07 breakout. I think I had like Greg Jennings, so very good team. But yeah, I was just very big football fan, so he said, we have an opening. You want to join? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I've been kind of hooked ever since.
That's awesome. Rostering Randy Moss was special. Some of my favorite teams had him on it. So I'll always remember some of his touchdowns. So, all right, second down. We are still hiring staff writers here at QB List. We've got a bunch of good staff writers added on, and we're starting to wrap it up. But if anyone is out there, we are hiring. So just send us an email, info@QBList.com, or hit us up on Twitter. But Callan, yourself, how long have you produced fantasy football content, and how did you get your start?
So I don't know if you were you ever on what Matthew Berry had, the Fantasy Life app? Did you ever get into like that one? Yeah. So I was on there, and we were just in some chats, and I actually got my start with baseball. I was talking baseball, and someone was like, hey, do you want to produce content for the blog there? I was like, absolutely. And then football season kind of came around, and the same thing. I started talking with someone. I was like, hey, we're looking for writers for that. I think it was back in 2017 or so is when I first started with that, and I was doing like injury report and doing some rankings with them. So yeah, I just started writing for them and just doing the weekly content, survivor pool pick'ems, start sits, weekly rankings, injury report, things like that, and just kind of took off. And then I joined Pitcher List in about 2020 as a writer, and I saw didn't know too much about QB List at the time, and just saw we had that. So I actually DM'd Eric there right before 2020 season, said, hey, I've been doing some writing for Pitcher List. Are you looking for some QB List? And I was lucky enough to get brought on board.
Yep. Always loved poaching people from Pitcher List. That was one of my favorite things. So awesome. All right. Let's get to question three. Did you get any vacation away from fantasy sports this summer? I know you've been writing for and podcasting for Pitcher List, but did you get a break at any point?
I did. Actually, last week I had a really close family friend. Actually, a friend who I joined his league for my first league, he got married this past week up in Lake Placid, New York. So went away for the weekend there. That was an absolute blast. Had a great time. Danced the entire night. So I was, got a few days off of work and doing that. But, busy with work, but getting some time to be with family and going away for that wedding was kind of that. And now we get to the point where I'm actually moving to a new apartment for the next week, but I'll be fully settled in time for football season. My roommate and I made sure to do that so we can just sit down and watch that week one game as soon as we could.
Yeah, I was going to say, get the TV set up first. That's priority number one. So. Yes,
we've already established who's bringing what TV and how we're going to watch NFL Red Zone. So before we even decide other things, it was, all right, let's make sure we have that. And we're going to have two TVs going probably all Sunday. So it's going to be a blast.
Awesome. All right. Fourth down. It's just a chance to plug your work. What are you working on now? What do you got coming up? Where can people follow you? All that good stuff.
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter at Callan_Elsleger. It's a lot of letters. It'll be in the podcast description. But like Eric said, I've been doing some QB List podcasting where I'll likely be on. We haven't fully finalized the schedule, but I'll be in producing podcasting in some form, likely the waiver wire show like I've been doing. But who knows? We'll see where I end up. But yeah, I'll be doing that. I'll be producing some. I'll likely be on the start sit team for this coming season, so you'll see me putting out an article or two each week for those. I'll be helping out with the rankings for Fantasy Pros Accuracy Contest, so excited to get started with that. But plugging away, I'm doing a lot of work, but it's going to be a fun season, that's for sure.
yep, I am looking forward to it. Saw the Bengals first team defense on the field and I was ready to go. I was like, this looks like real football. Let's get the season started. So, all right, that wraps it up for the AFC North today. Glad that you all joined us. Hope you're enjoying these divisional previews. Only got a few left, so they should be wrapping up here pretty soon. You can find me at Eric Smith QBL on Twitter. You can find the site at the QB List. We've got What We Saw is already coming. They're on the website, QBList.com. Check out the sit start once the season starts. We're always on Reddit posting in there on our fantasy football. So just give us a follow, check us out, and lots more coming on the way. So thanks for listening, everyone.